This week we have been recognizing the three solas of the Reformation, sola scriptura, sola fide, and today sola gratia, by grace alone. Our reading today is from Titus chapter 3, beginning with the fourth verse. When the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. I always thought it would be a curse to be given the name Grace and then to end up being a klutz. It's interesting how we use the word grace. I hope I didn't offend anybody out there, but it's interesting how we use the term grace often to describe a certain quality or characteristic in people, a ballerina or a figure skater or Kobe Bryant going in for a great dunk or something like that. In theological matters and in biblical terms, grace, however, is not a quality in man, but is only a quality in the heart of God. The grace of God that we read about and learn about in Scripture is always connected to the work of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the undeserved love of God toward us, which is his grace, this mercy and compassion and undeserved love from him, is always connected to Christ. And it came with a very huge price. Sometimes we might falsely think of God as this nice, kind-hearted old grandpa in heaven that has his grandkids burn down his garage and a couple of his cars, and he says, "Oh, I love them so much, I just can't be angry with them." But the God of heaven is a God of justice, and his justice against my sin and against your sin had to be paid for, had to be appeased. He had great wrath against the things that we do in our lives. Something had to be done to take care of appeasing his justice. Sin is serious stuff. It's not just some trite little thing that God tries to overlook. And since you and since I could not have paid the price for what we've done, if we did, we'd never get to see God someday, it had to be done by him. It had to be done by and through his only Son. When St. Paul talks about the grace of God to the Corinthians, he doesn't say to them, "God was reconciling the world to himself." He says, "God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them." And we must always keep this in mind. The grace of God, this not counting my sins against me or you, is always in Christ and in Christ alone. But because of this wonderful payment of your Savior, the grace of God is now universal. It is intended for all people, and it extends over all people, as we see in our text for today. And that is what is so wonderful and comforting about this doctrine of grace. Imagine, if you would, a 12-year-old boy who is very disobedient, who's living in a small orphanage of a dozen children, and because of his rebellion and disobedience, he's been put into a cell and locked away for a few days. And during that time, it's suddenly discovered that some parents have arrived who now want to adopt all of the 12 children in this orphanage, including him. And when the news comes to reach him in his cell, knowing how bad he's been, he refuses to believe it. He refuses to believe that somebody could be that kind and compassionate toward him and had put down the price to adopt him and take him back to a new home because he knows that he doesn't deserve it. And he says to himself, "This is too good to be true." And that is so often our own reaction when it comes to the doctrine of grace. It just kind of seems too good to be true. But the Word of God is very clear toward you. The Word of God always makes sure to speak of grace without any qualifications, without any strings attached, without any preconceived conditions that have to be attained or somehow reached by you for you to finally get grace. That's never how it comes. It just goes out free. It's like presents being handed out to anybody that comes. St. Peter says, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish." Ezekiel, the Lord says through the prophet Ezekiel, "As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways." And John, our Lord says through the Gospel of John, those beautiful words, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Even to unwilling man who doesn't want to listen to this, even to those who want to blaspheme Christ, the very payment for their sins, even those who want to deny the existence of God, Christ still stands and holds out his arms to them as he did over the city of Jerusalem, inviting them to come under the shelter of his grace. You know, sometimes you might be tempted to think, like I am too, you know, if only God had put my name right in the Bible so I could be sure. Well, I don't know what Bible you're reading, but he has. Just in the text that we have for today, it says that this grace has appeared toward man, and you are part of humanity. John the Baptizer said as he saw Christ coming toward the crowd, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," and you're part of the world. Martin Luther said about that verse, "You might say, who knows whether Jesus carried my sins? I can easily believe he carried the sins of St. Peter, St. Paul, and others, other saints. They were pious people. If only I, too, were St. Peter and St. Paul." And then he says, "Do you not hear what St. John says? This is the Lamb of God who bears the sins of the world. You cannot deny that you're part of the world." You see, grace is not a quality that is to be found in us or that we're to look for inside of ourselves. It is a quality in the heart of God for the sake of Christ. Sometimes I might say, you know, I don't necessarily feel God's grace. There's some days I just don't sense it or feel it. But God's saving grace did not come into this world and appear inside of your heart. And that's never where God tells you to go look for his grace. Yes, it touches our hearts. But he never directs you to go to your heart and your feelings to have security about his grace. Instead, he sends you to look for it in the manger of Bethlehem, at the cross of Calvary, at the empty tomb, to the ascended Christ, to his clear words telling you that you are his child, to the holy water of baptism, the washing of regeneration that brought you into his kingdom, and to his sacred feast of the Lord's Supper. This is where he sends you to find his grace. Dr. C.F.W. Walther said it this way when it comes to grace: you don't need to go looking for it. It has found you. Just believe it with joy. How the devil hates the fact that you and I can have this beautiful, wonderful, comforting teaching. And how badly he wants to take it away from us. And that's why he even likes to come inside of your mind and thoughts and tempt you with the thought to think, remember what you did though in your life? Remember those bad things you've done? Remember how frequently you have fallen? How could you possibly think that you're going to be right with God and going to heaven? But when you're tempted to think like that, be careful that you do not call God a liar, because his word says otherwise. His word calls you righteous. His word calls you holy. And through Christ, his word calls you a citizen of heaven. Just trust him and believe it. Amen.